I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all.
Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. Before we get started with this episode, I'd like to share with you a few announcements about what's going on in the Womb Centered Healing Temple, which is an online space for womb-centered healing practitioners to collaborate and share the important work of womb-centered healing with the world. I'm Sama Morningstar, the founder of the Womb-Centered Healing Temple, and I'd like to invite you to visit the Womb-Centered Healing Temple website at wombcenteredhealing.com. And there you can sign up to receive the Womb-Centered Healing Temple newsletter, which will send you an email notification every time there's a new podcast episode out. And you'll also receive notifications about blog posts. And you'll also be notified when there's new events, courses, and things to look forward to. You can explore the website there and see a variety of online courses that are available to support your womb-centered healing journey. So I hope to see you there, signing up for the newsletter and perhaps for some courses and events. And otherwise, until then, enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar, and I have Liv with me here today.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast. Liv responded to an invitation I put out for folks to come on the podcast and talk about the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and womb wellness, how the elements influence our womb wellness, how we can have invite the elements as allies in our womb wellness healing process. And so, Liv, you were saying you were wanting to talk about water today, and I'm sure as we talk about water, we're going to, you know, talk about how other elements might come into play in our womb wellness journey. So please introduce yourself some more and let us know what's up with water.
Thank you so much for having me here, Sama. It's such an honor to be on this beautiful portal you've set up for womb wellness. Hi, guys. My name is Liv, and I run my business, Lightworker Liv LLC. I work with the energetic anatomy of the body. I'm a mother of two beautiful children, and I was a surrogate mother as well, so I've had three babies. And I really feel connected to this topic today because I've experienced so many initiations through my womb, and not only through carrying life, creating life, but also through just menstruating, through having birth control, through learning how to yoni steam. All those things have initiated me in what the womb is, and Every time I go back to water, something I learned about water is that water holds memory. Interesting when I was studying that, because I learned also that the 24th chakra in our 33 chakra system is the inner child, and it connects to our womb. And so the concept of the inner child is that the inner child holds all the stories that you've ever lived. And I thought that was interesting that water holds memory and that this chakra holds these stories and holds these memories because there's so much water in the womb. And it made sense to me why we would hold or store stories of our childhood, of when our innocence was stolen from us through trauma, whether that was sexual, whether that was just being a woman and menstruating and being made fun of that. Any traumas we've carried where there was guilt or shame or blame, our womb waters hold on to. And so that's what I wanted to discuss with you today, Sama.
Powerful. And as you're talking about that, it brings me back to being in our mother's womb, being in the waters of our mother's womb, and how influential that is in our development and the blueprint and the beginnings of that inner child. Because I would say that that inner infant, that developing child, is part of the inner child. Maybe there's another chakra that's the inner infant, but I imagine, is there?
And that's actually, I feel like the 24th chakra is called the creation point. And so while it is related to the inner child, it's also related to that inner mother and inner father. So that programming that we received in our mother's womb, but also when we were literally a seed, we were our father's water coming into our mother's water womb. And we were being implanted, like our DNA is literally on a scientific level, our DNA is held together by tiny little water molecules. And so these tiny little water molecules hold memory. And so this creation energy in the womb is water. Water is creation. And what you experience in your mother's womb, exactly like you said, it blueprints you, but it's beyond, it's like the seed and the egg, right? Those are both watery contaminants, And then we become the fertilized egg, and then we're floating in these waters. And it's like our mother's waters are programming and fertilizing that seed that our father planted in our mother. And we become the tree of that. We become the life of that. We become the child, And so I feel like the creation energy is held in our womb. And when women tap into their creation energy, that's when they move mountains in business and in families and in their relationships.
Beautiful. Yeah, and so you were talking at the beginning about how all the stories are held in this inner child, in these inner child waters, right? The creation energy of how we were created. All of that memory is held inside of us in our water, not only the waters of our womb, but when you have a body of water that comes in contact with any other body of water, it shares instantly the memories that are held in that water and changes the vibration and even the structure of that water. And so all of the waters of our body is influenced by the waters of our womb. So it's flowing everywhere and it gets influenced by the waters that we ingest, the waters that we immerse ourselves in, the waters of the people around us. And I wanted to mention that the waters of our mother's womb are carrying all of her inner child memories and all of the memories that influenced her waters when she was gestating in our grandmother's womb, and all of the waters of her father and her father's father. And so, guess what? We're talking ancestry here, like we thought we weren't going to today, but you brought up water and memory and stories and the inner child, and it's only one thing leads to the next, and here we are. So this water in us is this thread of memory and blueprint upon blueprint. And And that can feel overwhelming because that's a lot of memories that we're dealing with. And as we know, as healers and of ourselves, as well as supporters of others' healing processes, it can feel like a lot of material, especially in this day and age where humanity has just built up this trauma history in this last, you know, however many centuries or millennia, that all of our ancestors are like, okay, and many of us are here today saying, okay, it stops now. We're ready. We're here for this. We're here for this huge collective healing process. And so I'd like to talk about how water can help us with these stored stories. Now, not all of our stories are going to be just trauma. There's a lot of beautiful stories that have healing inspiration, that have beauty and strength and wisdom, and all of that that is stored in our waters as well. And so I'd love for you to talk about how you work with the element of water in the healing process, particularly around womb wellness healing and
the womb. Yeah. I learned that not all water that we drink is created equal. And I learned that H2O doesn't cellularly hydrate the womb water, because in order for the water that we drink to be absorbed into our organs, it has to have a certain pH level. It has to be alive. It has to get vortexed, and it has to run over rocks and get minerals, you know? And I feel like a lot of women are disconnected from their womb because of the water that they're drinking. It's not allowing them to remember who they are. And I feel like we're saying, right? Water holds those memories. So that living water that comes from that natural spring that you can get from, and not many springs are clean anymore, you know? But if you can find that living water that's been vortexed and electrically charged, that is the water you want to feed your body, right? Talking about working with the elements, like, I feel the best way to work with water is to drink as much of it as possible every day, and not just any type of water, not just like, you know, Dasani or water from the store, you know, but really drinking alkalized living water with like a pH of 9.5. That is the water that you want to drink. And the pH represents the amount of hydrogens that get to bond. And we were talking about bonds, right? And all the family bonds that are passed through the water. And so the more that the hydrogen bonds, the more bonds we can remember and the more bonds we can uncover in our DNA and in our cells, so that our physical body can release those emotions. Because water is the element of emotion, you know? And so to me, our womb and those inner child, the inner child doesn't remember things by visual. It remembers things by feeling. And so that's where those feelings are passed down from generation to generation. One of the family stories that came up is this feeling of having to take care of my mother, this feeling of having to be the responsible one as a child to my mother. I love that you're drinking water right now. So perfect. So perfect. I love it.
I want to ask you, you know, I want to hear about your mother and you caring for your mother, because
I want to say that, but yeah, go ahead.
But before we go there, you really made me think about water. We just bought a little tiny house, okay? And it came with, well, it's a double tiny house. Like, officially a tiny house is 250 square feet, according to one of my contractor friends. So ours is 520 square feet. So that, no, 250 square feet. Ours is 520 square feet. So it's a little more than a double tiny house. So I feel so eco. It also came with like a fully producing fruit, multiple fruit orchard and a raised bed garden and everything. So
dope.
Little mini eco village we got going on here.
Wow.
It came with a reverse osmosis water filter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I know about reverse osmosis is that it kind of strips everything from the water.
Yeah, it does.
But I think this version of, I think people have known this about reverse osmosis, and a lot of reverse osmosis water filters actually add minerals back in to the water. And I got to check what our model is and look, do some research about it, because I haven't looked into it. But I know for me, the water that I'm drinking from this filter tastes rich in minerals. Like I've learned.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I still feel like with the pH that you're talking about and all these
details. Yes. Yes.
Water. I want to look more into what this water is. I'm pretty pleased. I'm not just drinking tap water.
Yeah.
I'm drinking it with a regular filter. I'm going to look into it, but I'm curious what you use, because, you know, mm-hmm. I have lived in places that have tap, beautiful living spring water. I know mm-hmm. I can drive about 45 minutes from here and fill up water bottles filled with water coming straight out of the ground.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit tricky because it's a,
it's like, yeah, exactly.
And you're not sure if it's exactly clean or not. And
mm-hmm.
because people are up there, you know, going to the bathroom in the woods right above where the water's coming out.
Yeah.
There's like questions about whether it's actually clean or not. So what do you have you found?
Yeah, I have a solution. I do.
Tell us.
Yeah. So I invested in a Kangen water device, and it's a medical grade. Have you heard of Kangen?
I have. In fact, I had a friend for a while who was a distributor.
Great. It's amazing. It's a medical grade water device that literally creates living water at your sink.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Emoto. He studied water and he helped develop this machine in Okinawa. And this is an all-inclusive company in Okinawa called Inagic. They've been making these machines for about 50 years now. And pretty much what it does is it mimics nature. So it has these medical grade titanium and platinum plates inside of it. And the water comes up like it would be flowing up a stream. And there's a motor that runs on 700 watts in the machine. And it turns the plates. And the water runs over those plates like it would in the stream over the rocks. And then it vortexes. And when it comes out of the hose on the top, it's creating this spiral movement, which allows the hydrogens to bond to H9O4, things like that. And it goes all the way up. There's 8 settings. And this water literally has changed my relationship with my womb. I started drinking it last year, and I had a lot of trapped inner child sexual trauma that I was completely unaware of. And when I started drinking this water, these memories, I had a dream that I had an obsidian yoni egg in my yoni, and like that was it was just a dream that I had this obsidian, and obsidian is like for deep trapped emotions, you know. And this was after I'd started drinking the water. I had been drinking the water for about 7 months at this point. And then the next day I was drinking the water, you know. I had really built a conscious relationship because I was starting to understand that this water is alive. And that this is a living being, so I need to treat it like a living being. And I even started kind of studying into the Ifa and understanding Yamaya and Oshun and those elements, you know, in that shamanic way. And I remembered sexual trauma from 3 months old. I had never, ever, ever, I had gone back to all types of ages and sexual trauma, but after that dream, I remembered this sexual trauma from 3 months old. And going back to what we were saying about ancestry real quick, and then I'll pass the mic. My grandmother was sexually abused. My mother was sexually abused. My great grandmother was sexually abused. So like talking about those waters, remembering it, it's like this living water, this water that is actually charged and alive, is giving my cells the ability to remember these things in me that I took into myself when I was growing in my mother's womb. It's returning me to origin. That's what Kangen means. It means return to origin, and it's returning me back to that creation point so I can release these stories for not only myself, but for my DNA line as well.
Wow. So it sounds like it's allowing you to remember and release and perhaps create a different blueprint. So it's like, if we're unconscious of a memory or a story that's held in our cells, it can kind of be stuck there. Now, in my awareness of trauma recovery, we don't necessarily need to relive all of the trauma memories or even remember exactly what they are, but we need to have a space to be able to release this trapped energy of whatever it is. Now, sometimes we do that through remembering and then perhaps releasing the energy through some other kind of practice. And I'm imagining it's not just the drinking the water, because you also do lots of
energy. Yeah, I do a lot of energy work on myself.
Right. So just.
But the water, like, mind you, I had been doing energy work on myself for 7 years, and I just started drinking the water last year. Mm-hmm. And there was just some type of, there was a physical shift in my body. Mm-hmm. Like, my body was able to, because on a physical level, the water literally seeps into your intestines and it cleans your intestines. Mm-hmm. So this living water is a detox too. Mm-hmm. And your womb's right there, so it seeps into your womb, and that's a detox as well, you know? And yeah, I was doing a lot of energy work on my lower chakras at the time. I had started to realize that my root chakra trauma, I feel like going into earth, you know, like the waters of the earth, like those deep remembrances, the earth holds water, you know? And so I feel like earth and water are really connected. And I was really running from this root chakra pain that I had, that I never felt safe in my body. And I wanted to know why. And then I had that dream, and I was drinking a lot. I think at that time, if I can remember correctly, at that time I was water fasting too. I wasn't like full on like dip for days, but like I was intermittent fasting with just the water. And it was at a time when I had like allowed my physical body to relax enough and get into a state so that it could remember that, so that my psychic gifts could tap in and I could like kind of go in and like guide that part of myself. But I just remember sobbing, honestly. It was like a deep emotion of like how disrespected I felt, like that it really affected my self-worth. And like that has been a womb wound for my feminine line for so long. Like my mother didn't feel like she was worth anything. My grandmother didn't feel like she was worth anything. My great-grandmother, you know?
Yes. And so what I'm hearing you share about is that this water, this specially charged and enlivened water, is helping you to access all of this in combination with the various practices and skills that you, self-healing skills that you already have going on. And it's bringing you to a place of being able to release some of these long-standing ancestral patterns. And so how is that translating into changes in your life and your relationships, in how you feel about yourself and how you communicate and your work with other people?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Sama. I feel like for me personally, there's this new level of safety I feel. I've never really felt safe in my body. And that had been something I was like being an Aquarius about. I was just detaching and like ignoring my body. But my body was telling me that she doesn't feel safe. And through my practices, I've just learned, especially after releasing that. That was a big moment for me to release that, to remember that. Like, a lot changed after that for me. I felt lighter. I was carrying this heaviness and I didn't know what it was. And it's like that sometimes with deep, deep trauma that you just don't know, you know? And so I was able to carry myself in a way where I didn't feel like I had to prove myself anymore. I felt like I was always trying to have to prove myself. Mm-hmm. To, like, prove my worth to other people, prove my worth to myself. But after that, there was a new level of compassion that came for myself from that specific memory. And I feel like that's what the water does. Water is soft, you know? And like I had this armor on and I didn't know why. And the water, the element of water, my connection to the earth, the element of ether with energy, I connected dots that allowed me to soften, to take off my armor, to balance more into my feminine, and to take my power back as my feminine as well.
I'm curious if you've also combined with this drinking this water practice, if you combine it with getting in water.
Oh, yes,
Did you
sister.
have that
Yes.
app?
I wanted to talk about yoni steaming, and then I also want to talk about my summer of initiating myself in the waters of Oregon, like in the living springs and in the rivers. I did amaz I had a whole water summer.
Oh,
It
nice.
was so powerful. Yeah, when I was talking about really learning about Oshun and connecting to Oshun and Yamaya, it's so interesting how I was talking about softening myself. I was raised as a swimmer. I was a swimmer. I swam my whole life in pools, won medals. It was awesome. And I used to love getting into water as a kid, but then I went through all this stuff when I was 18, 19, 20, and I like stopped liking water. It was weird. There was just something, there was a block. There was a part of me that I had let outside of my body and I wasn't being true to myself. And so after I had had that memory and I did some work, summer came and we went to the river almost every day and I got in the water. Even if I felt like I was cold, even if I felt like it was dirty, I got in the water. I got in the deep parts of the water. I jumped in, I swam. I let go of that fear of being submerged, of being held by the feminine, by the emotions, by being okay of being in the water again. And it also helped me heal my mother wound. I had some deep trauma with my mother, and I feel like connecting more to the water just allowed, like I was saying, like allowed my heart to soften and open and not only have compassion for myself, but have compassion for my mother as well, which allowed our relationship to soothe. And I just remember this one time I was in the river, the Sandy River here in Portland, and it was a hot, hot day. And we went to the river because the water here is so cold and it feels so good on a hot day. And I remember just letting the river take me. I laid back and I wasn't scared of all the fish in there. I wasn't scared of all the rocks or whatever critters were in there. I just felt like I was like a part of this ecosystem and I was one with it. You know? It was dope.
It was dope.
It was awesome.
It's so beautiful. I want to encourage people to have their own experience getting in natural bodies of water, in the ocean, in the rivers, in ponds, creeks, lakes, whatever we can. And I have a particular fondness for hot springs, natural hot springs.
I was just about to say hot springs.
In fact, where I live is I live at the base of a volcano, and actually I used to live a little bit farther away from the one where I live now. I used to live a half an hour in the direction of another volcano and sort of lived at the base of a different volcano. But there's this, I live in Lake County, California, that has a lot of water underground. California is very dry. It is very dry here. We have lots of fires here, but we also have this huge lake and a lot of underground water and several volcanoes. And so there's a lot of hot spring activity in there. And I live where I live because there's a particular hot spring that has been fairly well developed and that is world renowned for its warm water therapies. Called the Harbin Hot Springs. So have you ever been to Harbin?
I haven't been there.
Well, it burned down a few years back and it's been struggling to stay open, but it's owned by a nonprofit organization. So, and with the board of directors, it's pretty savvy at keeping it going. I'm pretty sure it's going to stay open, even though COVID has been a challenge after only recovering from the wildfire for about a year. Anyway, it's the birthplace of a warm water therapy called Watsu. Have you heard of Watsu?
No.
So Watsu is a style of body work where the practitioner holds the person in warm water and uses the water. The water is supporting the person, and the spring water at Harbin is flowing into pools and is very carefully treated, like it's not chlorinated. And I was curious when you were talking about swimming as a child and then getting to a point where you didn't want to be in the water before, if it was because of the chlorination.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to that point too in my life where I was a swimmer growing up, and my mom was a lifeguard in the ocean when she was pregnant with me, and then I, was on swim teams and all that. But at a certain point, I didn't want to go in chlorinated water, but I did want to go in the ocean. I did want to go in lakes and rivers and springs and hot springs, but I didn't want to go in chlorinated hot springs. And so this one, they don't chlorinate the water. They treat it with ozone and hydrogen peroxide, which feels a lot more gentle and a lot more alive, like little bubbles come alive on your skin when you're in there, and the waters feel like a sacred sanctuary, and it really does feel like returning to your mother's womb. And so the waters that we do this warm water therapy in are just a little bit above body temperature, so it really is like returning to the womb. And I actually became a certified practitioner of a variation of this warm water therapy called water dance, and the structures of where you actually take people under the water. So I'm holding the person in the water, and we have a signal, and they have a nose clip on, and they know how to breathe. I teach them how to breathe in such a way, and they know when I'm gonna bring them under the water, and they're going to be exhaling and holding their breath while I let them free under the water, and I hold onto some part or another and swish them around a little bit and follow their own body's unwinding movements under the water. And the water becomes this intelligent being that I'm working with as
Yes.
a co-facilitator in this healing process. And there's structures of this healing modality where we're actually bringing the body into similar positions as we experience when we're in our mother's womb. And in my training process of learning how to do this, I really worked with these positions a lot. And this is where a lot of trauma is released, because when our body returns to the body position and the certain conditions that we were in when a particular trauma happened, that's often when memories are released
Yeah.
from that. So that's another way that memories can be released, by sort of having that moment reproduced in our physically, right? In
Yeah.
some way, a sense of smell can bring up memories,
Yeah.
a physical body position, or a visual clue or stimulation, if it's being held in an intentionally healing environment, can bring
Yeah.
these memories. And so with the water, the sacred water that's charged with all these healing processes, and has been a healing sanctuary forever, that's what the energy of this water is all about, is very powerful. So I really want to encourage people to consider sacred waters. So these waters were held sacred by the indigenous tribes here before colonization, and still are to this day. And there's lots of places like that where the waters are considered sacred healing waters. A lot of hot springs have that consideration. So I'm curious if you've explored that kind of healing.
Yeah, we love going to the hot springs. It is always such a sacred practice for us.
Are
And
there particular
we go
ones?
to one here in Oregon that's a little bit east of Eugene, and there's a cold water spring right next to it. And I love sitting in the hot water and then going into the cold water. That's so sacred. And this specific one, there's always I feel like it represents like the watering hole, 'cause I always meet someone there for like at that time, they like need me or I need them. Like there's always some type of bond that happens near these waters, and I think it's super sacred. The last time I was there, I was talking to this guy who said he was chronically dehydrated, and I actually was able to educate him on the type of water he needed to become cellularly hydrated. And it was really cool because I was literally feeling my voice become a voice for water. And it was like I didn't even know what I was saying. I was just, she was telling me what to say, you know?
Beautiful. Wow, what's the
So,
name
yeah.
of the hot spring that you go to east of Eugene?
It's called the McCready Hot Springs. It's up here in Oregon.
Yeah,
And
familiar with that.
we've been to the Umpqua Hot Springs. We love going to hot springs. We're gonna go to some in Eastern Oregon and in Idaho and in Montana this summer.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. So, as far as womb wellness with submerging ourselves in water, I particularly like hot water, but like you say, going between hot and cold, can really get the circulation going. And oftentimes what's going on when we have womb wellness challenges, menstrual symptoms, that's often because of stagnation of the blood and stagnation of the circulation. And so the process that you talked about of going from hot and cold, it has this pumping quality of expanding and constricting and expanding and constricting your tissues and your blood vessels and your lymph. And it can really stimulate circulation in a powerfully healing way. And so I just wanted to mention how that practice could be a supportive practice. And you don't have to go to hot springs to do that, although I highly encourage it. You can do that in the shower or in the bathtub if you have a shower head as well. You can be in the bathtub and then stand up and put cold water on and then sit back down in the bathtub. Or my plan is to have a second bathtub. When we moved into our house, it didn't have a bathtub, so I installed one in the garage. Because I wanted to have one indoors, but this summer I might get another one and put it outside so that I can have a hot one
Nice.
and a cold one and have a little hot and cold thing going.
Yes.
And then of course you were going to mention steaming
Yes, yoni steaming.
and how steaming, steaming really incorporates all of the elements, right?
It
Got the
does.
water, of course. The
Yes.
fire stimulates the water make steam. Fire and water together makes steam. And then the earth element is the herbs and the plants that
Yes.
we put in there. And then the air, of course, is the combination of the water and the air is what makes the steam.
Yeah,
And
the
water
steam,
traveling
yep.
through the air is very much like water that's halfway between water, liquid, and air. It's kind of mixed
Yeah.
air. So I'm curious what you might have to say. What's your steaming journey been like? When did you discover it?
Yeah, I started yoni steaming after my son was born. Actually, I started yoni steaming like 15 months after he was born because my period hadn't started yet, and I was just like ready for, I was ready to remove that stagnant energy. My birth with my son was pretty traumatic. We both almost died, but we made it through. Thank you. Miracles happen. And so I understand why my period wasn't starting because I was still holding on to a lot of that trauma, and the stagnant blood. And it was my blood pressure that almost killed me. So a lot of blood was pumping, but my veins weren't opening fast enough. So I got preeclampsia. And luckily I didn't seize or anything, but I just felt my womb still holding on to that, all that pressure that she felt in that moment. And when I started steaming, I steamed 3 times in like a week, and like steamed 2 days, 2 days, and then like a day, and then my period started, and it was so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did it with intention. Like I went in and I was like, my intention is to steam to start my period, and I talked to my womb. So that's when I started working with my inner child, my 24 chakra more heavily. Is through the yoni steaming and allowing all the elements to open that space up for me, and then I would lay in child's pose with the bowl under my yoni, And I would journal and I would write out, I would bring myself to my 7-year-old self and I would write out any feelings she wanted to say or any memories that came up. And I would sit and process on a physical and an emotional and a mental and a spiritual level. And then I would sit and lay and I would use my breath and I would put my third eye on the floor to the ground and just let the steam work with my womb. And I would talk to my womb and I would let her know that I love her and thank you so much for all that she's created for me and all that she continues to create. And it really, again, just bring me back to that feminine, changing my relationship with myself on a feminine level, helping me radiate out and heal these betrayal wounds I have with women and with a self-betrayal wound with my own feminine, betraying my own feminine nature. And that really, with steaming my journey now, I actually host Yoni Steams for other women, and I'm gonna host a virtual Yoni Steam soon, and I'm really excited about it.
Ooh, that sounds like a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Where did you learn how to do yoni steaming? Did you
Yeah.
go to a
I
spa?
learned I had known about it because I was studying with a doula. Well, she's a midwife now. And then my sister Layla, she taught me through her yoni steam practices. And so I use all types of herbs, calendula, nettles, uva ursi, lavender, red raspberry leaf, mugwort, all types of herbs.
And so, do you help others get started with yoni steaming too? It sounds like you host yoni
Yeah,
steaming.
I have hosted a few yoni steam ceremonies and it's been amazing.
Do you work with people? Like, do you have any sort of assessment process to see? Because I know that I also do teach about yoni steaming, or I call it vaginal steaming or womb steaming, and I work a lot with assessing where someone's at in their cycle, because it's important to
Yeah, I definitely
understand.
follow the protocol of yoni steaming and ask if they're bleeding or, I definitely don't recommend that you yoni steam while bleeding. And I've assessed people with fibroids and who are slow bleeding a lot, and the yoni steam has actually helped them lessen their bleeding. But yeah, I follow the protocol for sure.
So you've been able to help people who are bleeding a lot to lessen how much?
By a lot, I mean like they didn't stop bleeding in between their period. They were still spotting. So because they had fibroids. So if they were spotting, then I would recommend to steam. But if they were full bleeding, I would not recommend to steam.
And so if they were spotting and they steamed, it helped them to stop spotting?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. And were there particular herbs that you used for that?
The herbs I named, I feel like there's a few I'm missing. I named about 7, but I usually use about 11. But definitely red raspberry leaf and uva ursi and mugwort and calendula and nettles is really important. Nettles, especially for circulation.
Yeah, interesting, because the protocols that I learned recommend against steaming when you're spotting and you're having continuous spotting.
Yeah, this one woman totally did it though. And
And
it helped her, yeah.
to stop the
I was real a
spotting.
little nervous for sure. I was like, "Are you sure?" 'Cause I didn't realize that she didn't stop bleeding. And I asked her and she said she felt safe and she did it and it really helped her.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the protocols that I've learned help a lot of people most of the time, but then there's people that it doesn't really help the way that the protocol says it's supposed to help. Right? And so that's part of this research project, is to say, okay, let's look at this a little bit from a different angle. Let's look at how, for example, with your person, her inner wisdom was telling her something really strongly. And you might have questioned that if she had told you that she was bleeding. You were like, is that a good time to
Yeah,
do
I did.
anything? And because of the protocols that you learn, but her inner wisdom was telling her that this is what she needed to do. And she had a strong connection with that, which isn't always the case. We can think that we have that it's our inner wisdom, but perhaps it's something else. It's our fear or our urgency or whatever it is that's telling us. So there's a lot of mystery around this too, even though we might have protocols that we feel pretty confident with that we've learned from an experienced practitioner or a set of practices that we've learned. There can be times when, you know, someone's inner wisdom is telling them something different, and then it works for them.
I totally agree with that.
I've had that too, where one person that I've been working with for a while, and she's really struggling, not getting any improvement on her symptoms from the protocols that she learned, and she got an inner intuition saying steam for longer when the protocols were telling her with her situation not to steam for any longer than a certain period than like 10-15 minutes, and she just felt like she needed to steam for 30 minutes, and given her symptom set, that was like a no-no, right? So she started steaming for 30 minutes and suddenly her symptoms are getting better, right? Because she followed her inner wisdom coming up for her. And you know, that can be ancestral guidance that's stored in the water of our wombs, right? Could be stored in that water molecule in our DNA that, you know, some ancient grandmother is like, she would just listen to me and steam for 30
I know, right?
Fine, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
You know, we think so often that ancestral, a lot that we've inherited like generational curses or generational trauma from our ancestors, but we also inherit our ancestors' strength and tenacity and resilience and wisdom. And if we go back far enough in the ancestral lineage, there's ancient wisdom before we started doing a lot of the things that are harming us and each other.
That we can
reach back to as well. So
yeah.
Wow. I'm so glad that we got to talk about all these things, and we did go down the ancestral pathway. Are you a distributor of the Kangen water?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, cool. So folks who are interested in a Kangen water filter or any of the other healing, I know that you offer a lot of energy healing and that you're going to be offering these steaming circles, and that you might be able to support more people with steaming as well if they want to reach out to you about that. How could people get in touch with you about all those things?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and on Facebook, Light Worker Live, LIV.
Okay.
And then my personal Facebook is Olivia Mad Lock, MADLOCK. And then my website is lightworkerlive.life.
Nice.
And I have my free Facebook group, the High Level Intuitive Coaching Club, where I do a lot of free courses for people who are desiring to step more into their power in any way in their life. And yeah, I am going to be hosting a virtual Yoni Steam Sound Bath in April. So be on the lookout for that. I'm going to share details soon. Thank you so much for having me here. I had a great time talking with you.
Me too, Liv. So good to connect this way. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Yeah. And listeners, know that if you want to learn more about what's going on in the Womb Centered Healing Temple, you can go to wombcenteredhealing.com and sign up for the newsletter there. You'll get a free womb listening audio MP3 when you sign up for the newsletter, and you'll also receive announcements about new blog articles, new podcast episodes, and various other activities, events, and classes and offerings that are happening. So thank you so much for joining us. That's all for now. Until next time.